Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hi, Recruiting Animal here. On March 18, 2020, March 18, 2020. If you are listening to this show 5 years from now, you probably won't be. But just in case you are, I want you to know that we're in the early days of the coronavirus crisis. I don't know, you know, what the long-term effects are going to be. You know better than I do. But anyway, so if you hear us talk about working from home and freaking out about toilet paper, that's what we're talking about, okay? And I'll start off right now with some stuff I've seen about this coronavirus. A lot of people are complaining that they're getting marketing emails from companies using the virus situation to market their products and services. Here's what one of the past guests, a very smart guy, said on Facebook. He said, he's a CEO of a company, by the way. He said, my inbox... Yeah, he's a CEO. He's a businessman.
That means something.
Yeah, he knows he's got to sell. Jerry, this guy, his company is full blast selling, I'm sure. But listen to what he said. He said, my inbox is filling with marketing emails from companies trying to take advantage of the situation, and it's tacky and it's gross. And I ask myself, why is it tacky and why is it gross if companies are offering you things that can be especially useful during the crisis? I don't get it. Maybe this guy's a communist, eh? What's wrong with business? What's wrong with business? Maybe somebody understands on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Oh my God.
Thank you, Jerry!
Hey,
it's always inspiring. If only the whole show was always as good as the shout, okay? That's what people say.
That's a good point. That's a good point right there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, the shout's only a few seconds long. The show is an hour long. It's hard to sustain something like that, okay? Anyway,
Is the guest here?
I don't know yet, but... Yay!
Yeah,
the guest showed up. Thank you. Thank you. That's my gratitude for the day. But I want to thank my sponsors before we get going. HireTool, HireTual.com, the super duper sourcing tool. If I'm not mistaken, our guest today is on their advisory board. Honeit, HoneIt.com, the online recording interview technology. They should have Jerry on their advisory board, because he was doing something similar 10 years ago, okay? Finally...
I was way out front.
You were. PCRecruiter.net, the Swiss Army knife. Trying to think of some alternate for Swiss Army knife, but that's
something
what...
else. Dude, that's
what Martin
old,
Snyder,
man.
The boss there, calls it, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software. Yeah, you know, Maybe the guest today can suggest something different. The great, the fabulous Dean DaCosta, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Y'all seem really energetic.
It's an honor. At Dean DaCosta, if you want to complain or say something nice to Dean during the show, it's DeanDaCosta. Dean DaCosta.
What a treat to have. To have stars like this on the show. Seriously.
Okay. I like all the guests.
Do people know what the caliber of people that we're dealing with here, Animal? I don't think they
do.
I don't know.
I do.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. You got your Kathy always there with
the
seals.
How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Long time no see.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
it has been a while,
Let's
hasn't it?
Let's get the show
yeah.
rolling. Let's get the show
yeah.
on the road, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Let's
okay.
do
well,
it.
Here's something.
Animal.
Let's
animal,
ask
I'll
just some normal
mind.
Recruiting questions, okay? Those people who don't like getting pitches, are they communists? What's wrong with the people saying, I want to help you during this coronavirus crisis? Dean, do you have any comment on that?
I don't see a problem with anybody helping anybody at all, because I try to help people all the time as much as I can, no matter what. I mean,
yeah,
just
you give
day,
them free. You're helping for free. They want
well, no,
business.
I'm not talking. Oh, you're talking about from a business standpoint. You know, it for me, it's kind of weird. I get a lot of people connecting with me on LinkedIn, and usually
hold on,
they connect
I'm gonna,
with
Kathy,
me.
Kathy, I got to put you on. I got to put you on mute.
Can I just say one thing, though? Can I just say one
yeah.
thing?
Dean yeah.
can give away everything for free, because I guarantee you very few people could actually remember it and keep up with it like he does. So,
well, want to invest the time. Kathy, you're absolutely right. Maureen always says, I can give everything away for free because nobody's going to do it.
Right.
I do.
Right.
You know, and,
right.
and Dean's the same. Okay. Well, I'll keep coming back to you, Kathy, but I'm going to put
okay.
your area code 619. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Don't worry. I won't lose you. That's
okay.
SorcererKathy.com if you want to see who Kathy is. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Dean, so you've shown yourself to be a commie. What's your why don't you like business?
No, I didn't say I don't like business. For me, it's a matter of the way you go about doing what you're doing. If you're going to connect me on LinkedIn, and the very first thing when I accept, you say, hey, Dean, I have these people I can do this job. Can you help me out? I mean, really, that's kind of lame. You know, here's an idea.
Okay, yeah. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
I mean,
you have some great
stupid.
Insight into it. Okay,
well,
Dean,
actually,
before we
I
get
do,
going,
okay.
this what I'm going to ask you, this question is – so valuable. It's if you listen to the show, this is going to be the most valuable thing you get out of it. Dean has an archive of sourcing information. What's the domain name for that? I keep forgetting.
Well, it's the SSAR page is what you're talking about, and there's a start.com
yeah.
page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Each one is a different. It has a different URL, so it's not like there's a URL, but there's start.me pages. You can find them on the Facebook SourceCon group. There's a listing of them, and as soon as we get off the phone, I'll put the same listing on your.
Okay.
Your,
there's no domain.
Facebook
there's
group.
No one domain name that people
no,
can
no,
go from one to the
address.
Other.
Well,
are
no,
you kidding
what's
me?
The address?
Okay, what it is these are called start.me pages. It's a free thing which allows you to create your own startup page and put links on there. And so that's what I've done. But there's four of the SSAR pages, and each one has a slightly different
Dean, I'm ashamed. You are stupid, okay? Why don't you bet $20? I'll do it for you. Just come up with an easy-to-mention name. And I can give it out on the show, and they can go to this site, and then you'll have links on that site to all the other three or four sourcing things. You have to – this is how it works. You have to have an easy-to-remember name. Want me to,
well,
if
they really,
I buy a
if
name –
if they really
want
to know it that easily, they can just go to my webpage, and the links are right there.
What's your webpage then, okay?
TheSearchAuthority.Weebly.com.
Oh, no. Jerry, can you believe this guy? Shame on you, Dean. I'm gonna come up with something better, and I'm going to forward it
yeah.
to your site. I'm going to come up with something better.
Okay, so
the Recruiting
Animal
Show is going to solve this problem.
Animal, here's the reality of the situation. There are over 10,000 links and another 2,000-plus pieces of information there, and I update it daily. I maintain it. I do all of the checking to make sure the links are still good and all that by myself for free every day. I don't have
okay.
the time to make it picture perfect. Right now, okay.
The Recruiting Animal Show is going to step in and solve that problem for you. Okay, I promise. Okay, I'm going to solve that problem. Let's move on to the show. Okay, first of all, let's just do a quick thing with this virus stuff. Are all searches on hold right now? Are you working, Dean? Is anything happening?
Yes, I'm still working. What we've done is we've just reevaluated our interviewing process, and we're doing video interviewing, and if we want to hire somebody, we're just going to hire them, and we can onboard them remotely. There's no big – it's not like it's harder to onboard somebody. You send them paperwork, they do it, they send it back, or they do it online. You send them a computer, and they're up and running, done. So, yeah, nothing – for us, the only difference is there's not a whole lot of in-person interviews going on. Everything's being done via video.
Okay, I heard that some places are having in-person interviews just like they have them in prison. You go in, and there's like a plexiglass separation, and you talk to the person on the phone.
I wouldn't doubt that. I think I've read something about that on Facebook yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
but
I made it up. I was joking. I did read.
I actually think I read something about that on Facebook where they were thinking about bringing people in and putting them in like adjacent rooms where they can see each other and letting them talk. So
I think it's kind of like the scene in Midnight Express when the guy's girlfriend visits him in the Turkish prison.
Yeah.
No, it was like that bad. But, I mean, I don't see the problem. You've got all these conferencing technologies, all these video technologies. There's nothing wrong with getting on a video Skype with somebody and talking to them and asking them questions. You can literally glean the same exact information.
Okay. Can you demand normal performance from people who are not used to working at home and they've got the kids away from school? And they're going stir crazy as well. Are people going to perform well?
Well, that's a good question because my kids are in their 20s, so I don't have that issue, so I can't answer that one.
Okay.
Back when I worked from home and they were younger and in high school, again, they were old enough to entertain us. I have my 3.5-year-old granddaughter home right now. She's not bothering me. She knows I'm in a meeting. I told her, and she's in her room playing. When I'm done, I'll go hang out with her. So I guess it just depends.
Yeah, you
on
gave
your
her a military training. Yeah, okay. Dean's a military guy. He wears a hat that says he's a veteran. Oh, okay. Now I got lots of questions. I have lots of questions. But what I invited you to do today was tell war stories about your, you know, best and worst recruiting experiences. And you said you've got tons of them. Do you want to just start telling stories, or should I ask you questions? What do you prefer?
No, we can go either way. I can tell a story. I'll tell a story right now.
Go ahead.
And I like stories.
Really,
it's actually the story that is the reason behind the SSAR pages. So when I got out of the military and I moved up to the Washington State area, I started putting out my resume like everybody did back then. You had to email them because there was all this technology wasn't quite in place yet. And I got a couple of interviews. Most of them were what I call checkbox interviews, meaning they had no intention to hire me. They just wanted to be able to say, we talked to a veteran. In fact, I had several people tell me everything I learned in the military was worthless. But that aside, I finally found a company that wanted to hire me because I was a veteran. The only problem was my first day, they said, there's your computer, go recruit. And I'm like, excuse me? And they were like, source. I'm like, okay, do I get any training or anything? I'm out of the military. I didn't do this type of stuff in the military. And they were like, figure it out. And it was hard because back then there wasn't a whole lot available. This was the early days of AIRS training, so they weren't really well known and everything. And so I had to pick people's brains. I had to look up stuff online. I mean, it took me quite a while to get up and really running. And it was a pain in the royal behind because I kept getting conflicting information. But long story short, at some point, once I started doing well and I started figuring it out, I said that when the time came that I was in a position where I had the knowledge and I had a format to where I could help other people so they no one had to do what I just had to go through, I would do it. And that's actually why the SSAR pages came into being, because
okay.
I thought
well, hold on. Whose brains
to get
did you pick? Whose brains did you pick? And what kind of conflicting information were you getting?
Well, I was picking some of the other recruiters and sources that were in the that was part of the company, even though I was told to just do it, don't ask questions, don't bother people. I did it anyway, but I did it after hours. I was like, hey, let's get a drink and talk and this. And I was getting conflicting information because each recruiter seemed to have their own idea about the way things should be. One recruiter only emailed, never talked to people until after they said they were interested. Other people only wanted to call. Other people were, you go to job fairs and that's all you do. Other people were like, just keep throwing resumes at the client until they pick one. I mean, it just seemed like there was no continuity. Nobody had a methodology. Nobody had a thought process that really made a lot of sense to me. So I just came up with
myself. Hold on a second. Jerry, is Jerry still here? I don't want to misquote him.
Yeah,
Jerry said, there's no, he always tells me there's no one way. You have to embrace diversity in terms of recruiting method. Okay? You can't look for one way to contact people. Am I right, Jerry?
But there's a difference between, okay, so there's a difference between saying all I'm going to do is call, I won't email at all, and all I'm going to do is email, I won't call at all. My methodology, the one that I use, involves both, and that's where the problem came in. I don't email people, I just call. I don't call people, I do is email. That didn't make sense to me. Because why wouldn't you do both? Why wouldn't you do one and then give and then maybe give it a day and then do the other? It just didn't make sense to me to focus in on only one thing, because not everybody responds the same way. And so that's basically what I'm talking about. Even right now, you have calling, you can email them, then you have texting, then you have social media. You have four different ways to communicate with people. Why would you say I'm ignoring three and only going to focus on one? That's
okay,
what
who's
they
groaning?
Were to
who's
say.
Groaning
Anyone
on heavy
had...
breathing? Someone fed up with this and wants to say something? Speak up. Everybody's free to talk. Anybody want to say something?
So anyway, okay. Long story short, I have to talk to all of them.
So
I start
we heard the origin
out.
Story. Go ahead. Short, long story short, come to the end of this one.
I already did come to the end. It's a long story short. I did all of that, and I figured out what worked best for me and what and everything like that. But I swore that when I got a chance, I would create something that could help people and not have to be thrown in the situation I was in, which I did.
Okay.
That's
okay.
What the SSR pages are about.
Great
okay.
Story,
what's your, what?
Love it.
Okay. That's his origin story. That was like the pilot of the series, the TV series that Dean
comic
will be
book,
in. That was the
comic book number one.
Yeah. Okay, right. Right. Okay.
Which
our company's going to be
– lead- Which actually leads to one of the more interesting stories about
go
something
ahead.
That happened in
go
early
ahead.
Days at Microsoft.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go
so
ahead.
Early days at Microsoft, they were looking to hire a project manager with a specific security certification, which at the time there were only five people in the U.S. that had it. Four
How did you know
wanted,
that there were only five? How did you know there were only five?
We asked the certificating body how many people had been certified, and they said five. I mean,
is that a New English word, certificating? Certificating instead of certifying? It's, maybe that's an Americanism that I'm not
I'm
familiar
Portuguese,
with.
So, I'm Portuguese, so I wouldn't know. At any rate, we found out there were five, and we were able to identify all five, and four of them were wanting way more money than we were going to pay, and that left one. And everybody tried to get a hold of him. Every recruiter in the company tried to find this person, get a hold of him, get him to talk to him, and he just wouldn't do it. They finally asked me. I did a little research and found out that he was a comic book collector, and I knew that because he had said he had gone to several comic cons, which are big comic conferences.
Where did he say that? On his blog? Where did he say that?
I believe, if I remember correctly, it was his blog. Plus, there was a picture on his webpage with him at Comic Con dressed up as Thor. He was a Thor fan. And I happen to be a comic book nerd myself. I know, I mean, I've got. Like 10 terabytes of digital comics sitting here at my house. So, and so I just emailed him and started talking about comics. Hey, I saw you went to Comic-Con. How was it? Blah, 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 blah. And long story short, eventually he did what human nature is, asked me what I do and where I work. Once he found out I worked for Microsoft, he said, oh, you're just wanting to recruit me. I go, no, I want to talk about comics. Let's go. A day later, he finally did what, again, human nature said he would do. And he asked me why everybody's trying to get home. I told him, let me look it up. I already know. I told him the job. And long story short, 3 weeks later, we hired him. And the moral of the story is it doesn't matter how you try, it doesn't matter how many people try, if you don't find a way to connect with somebody personally, it won't matter at all. You aren't going to get anywhere. Now, and it fits now more than ever because there are so many more jobs than people. If you don't find a way to connect with them personally and get them wanting to talk to you, you're not going to get anywhere. And in this case, that's all it took. Me to get to take time, invest in him, to know him a little
bit. Hold on a second. Wait a second. Okay, so you found this weirdo who likes to dress up like Thor, and he actually
– Weirdo?
He actually – yeah, okay, that's pretty odd to me. And he puts it online so you could actually find out about it.
Now that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Wait a second. And not only that, by coincidence, you're also a weirdo, okay? You like the same stuff as him. So you've got a connection there, and the guy actually bites, okay? Now, you're saying there's a general lesson there. How have you used – I bet there isn't. How have you used that? Again and again. I bet you don't reproduce that performance very often.
Actually, that would totally be wrong. Not only do I reproduce it, but I use it for other things and just connecting with candidates. Example, at Microsoft, going to meet a hiring manager first time. When I go to meet a hiring manager, I always do it in their office, and I always, as I'm walking in, I look everywhere in their office for something. The one hiring manager, I noticed he had skis. I sat down and talked to him about skiing. after work, we went out and got a drink and talked about skiing. And we had such a strong connection from that point on that we meet something like 20 hires in like 4 months because him and I just connected so well. We trusted each other, whereas the recruiter before me couldn't make any hires. So this whole idea of connecting with somebody personally works everywhere.
But what about when you walk into somebody's office and you see several different things that let you know that you hate this person? You have nothing in common.
Well, first of all, I don't hate anybody, but dislike the person.
You must not vote then.
Oh no, I vote, but I don't have to hate the guy. I don't have to hate somebody to vote for or against them.
You have to hate.
I can dislike them a lot.
You have to hate people to support the other candidate. You just have to.
No, dislike, not agree with, but hate. Hate's just a very strong word.
That's a great question.
Yeah, it's a good point, but hate to me is a super, super strong word, and disliking somebody, that's one thing. Hate, I mean, I just want to
hate. We're not here for a discussion on love and hate, okay? I want to hear
it. We're here for whatever we want to talk about, Animal. Chill the hell out.
No, you got a good point, Jerry. You got a good point. Dean is pretending that he can relate in a special way to everybody. First of all, he moved away from the candidate, which is what I was interested in, to the hiring manager.
I can go back to
your
candidate again, too, if you'd like. I just was giving you examples how it could be used.
Okay, well, hold on.
I'll go back to another.
Wait a second.
Giving another example. We understood that. Animal did.
Well, I appreciated the segue.
But Jerry's got a point. Jerry's saying you're not going to be able to find something in common that you could talk about at length. It's not always about finding
something necessarily just in common. It's just finding something that, like, as an example, I'll give you a great example. When I worked for Hewlett Packard, I found a person. He was a Java person. I at the time did not know Java, but I really wanted to learn Java. I saw a white paper he wrote involving Java. So I contacted him. We did need a Java developer. But I kind of, hey, look, I see you're a great Java developer. You wrote this white paper. I decided if I want to learn how to program in Java. Can we talk? And he got on the phone with me. He talked. He explained to me about Java. He explained me what it's like. Explained all that to me. At the end, I was like, wow, you know what? I think I'm going to sign up to learn about Java. And then he asked me what I do for a living, and I told him. And then human nature again. Oh, do you guys have any positions? Yes, I do. Well, again, it took me about a month and a half. I got him hired. It's not just about you finding something in common. It's just finding something that allows them to take their guard down about your recruiter and just talk and just be a real person. Sometimes that's all you're trying to do. Having something in common is the easiest way, but just being willing to listen and learn, just flattering them and getting them to talk about something they've done, just something to let their guard down. So instead of talking to a candidate, you're talking to a person.
You know what? I got to tell you something. Whenever I try to suck up to somebody, it always comes back to bite me. It never works, okay? Does anybody else? There's a lot of experienced recruiters here. Does anybody else want to comment on this? Okay, I'm going to call it the suck up routine. Anybody want to say something?
The fact that you're using the term suck up explains why you're not very good at it.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, you know,
find the common denominator.
Who said common denominator? Do you want to expand on that?
It's Recruit for You back in the Animal Show. How are you, Animal?
Steve.
Hello, Jerry.
Yeah. Former guest.
No, it's a common denominator. Find something in common. It might be a picture on the wall. It might be something in the conversation. Fishing, skiing, hunting, something. There's got to be something.
Hold on, Steve. You're recruiting nurses. Am I right?
No.
Okay.
I'm in the manufacturing world now.
Why would it matter? I'll give you an example. I got a friend of mine who's a recruiter. Her husband's a nurse. He goes in once a month dressed as a superhero for the kids in the pediatric ward. Well, guess what? He's got to know about superheroes to dress up as them. So there we go. Superheroes, that's comic book. I got it. So I have my connection with them. It doesn't matter what field you're in. You got to remember, stop thinking of them as a nurse. Think of them as a person. And as a person, he's got hobbies. He's got things he likes. He's got things he's interested in. And therefore, there's a way to connect with them.
I'm going to ask everybody who comes on the show, this is now going to be one of my standard questions, how have you done it, okay? How have you done this? There's a famous – we got a famous example on the show. This guy couldn't – was unrecruitable, just like your guy. And as the recruiter found out on his blog that he liked Flaming Hot Cheetos, right? On the, and he also happened to like Flaming Hot Cheetos. So we sent him an email with the subject line, Flaming Hot Cheetos, and he actually recruited this unrecruitable guy. That stands out because it's so strange, okay? You're making it sound like it's an everyday occurrence, which it is not.
I guess it depends on who you talk to. For me, it is because I learned early on it works, and I take the time to get to know the people I want to source and recruit and talk to. It doesn't make sense for me not to, but you got to understand, as a recruiter, we have to not only get them interested in a job, but we have to ascertain if they have the basic, and I hate this term, but I'm going to use it anyway, core values that match to the company. Well, you can't know that for real unless you get to know the person.
Okay, and I'm going to do some ads, and I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to ask if you what you do to ascertain, like, a culture fit is what you're talking about now. How do you assess culture fit? You think about it for a second. I'm going to do an ad. Hey, everybody, I'm going to do my short-form ads today. Honeit, HONEIT.com. It's the online interview recording technology. It record you, both you and the candidate, call into a website. It records the whole interview, turns it into a searchable transcript, plus you can press a button to highlight certain questions and segment them as audio clips that you could pass on to the hiring manager, say, hey, listen to the candidate in her own terms. Man, that adds a little sizzle. HireTool, HireTual, Dean's a super sourcer. Anything nice you'd like to say about HireTool, or do you want to leave it to me?
I'll leave it to you if you want. I mean, people already know what I have to say about it.
No, they don't. It's a good sourcing tool. Am I right?
HireTool. HireTool is a very good sourcing tool. Honeit is also an extremely good tool. I've used both.
There you go. He uses Honeit. Thank you. And finally, PCRecruiter.net. Dean, everybody, Joe Mullins was on, and he told me that the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software is too old a term. People aren't going to know what a Swiss Army knife is. Is there any other term that you could think of that I could express that this is very customizable, configurable software?
I think the more up to date version of a Swiss Army knife is a Leatherman. You know, the ones that have a knife, and then they have a corkscrew, then they have a bottle opener, they have all that, because that's the more.
Yeah, that's what a Swiss Army knife is. I've never heard of a Leatherman. Leatherman?
Yeah.
Sounds like some kinky sexual apparatus.
Jeez!
Only you could go
come
that
on,
direction.
Come on,
dude.
Man. I just.
But no.
Okay.
At any rate.
This is a problem.
Try this one. Call it a five tool sourcing tool.
Okay.
That's a sports metaphor.
Weak.
Yeah. Weak. Okay.
Hey, I'm just coming up with stuff right off the top of my head. Give me a break. And I
dude,
have a drink all my coffee here.
That's ridiculous.
What?
Okay.
That he didn't know what a Leatherman is? Or he didn't know what a Swiss Army knife is?
Who doesn't know what a Swiss Army knife is, even if you don't own one? You know
obviously,
what it is.
Obviously, animal didn't know.
Anyway, let's get back to thank you, Michael G. Cox. You can find Michael G. Cox at MikeRecruiter.com. And he's a fantastic sales recruiter. Okay, ex-corporate.
Meanwhile,
now.
Everybody listening is on the computer right now looking up Swiss Army knives to figure out what it is.
Or Flaming Hot Cheetos. Or Flaming
Hot
Cheetos.
But wouldn't it be
Cheetos,
hilarious if they
other?
Were? I know what Flaming Hot Cheetos are. My son loves those things.
Okay. Okay, they're not good for you. Oh, okay. Next, what about this? You said it's very important for you to assess the cultural fit, even though you didn't use that term. How do you assess cultural fit?
If you're getting to know the person, it's pretty easy to assess certain things about them. Like, as an example, the comic book guy, one of the things we started talking about is that how long have you been collecting and what series do you have? And when I asked him what series, he goes, well, I have Thor 1 all the way up through 369. They're in mint condition. When you start hearing things like that, you're like, okay, this guy knows stuff off the top of his head. He knows the series. He knows how to condition the comics. That means his attention to detail is pretty good, because to know how to properly tell the condition of a comic is not the simplest thing in the world. There's a lot of variables. And I know that because I am a comic artist. So that automatically tells me he has a very good attention to detail, number one. Number two, listening to the way he puts his sentence together and the words he uses can tell me other things as well. What kind of communication style is he? If he's very direct about things, and I know that he's a very direct person, but if he tends to and maybe try to soften the way he speaks, then I know he's a little more mild of a personality. There are things you can do. There's a book by Joe Navarro called What Everybody Is Saying, and it's mainly, he's an FBI guy, and that's about nonverbal communication. So even when you're on the phone with somebody, you can tell certain nonverbal cues as well. If you hear typing in the background, they're either working or they're looking up the answer to a question. If you hear the hims and the haws, depending on when they are, you could tell he might be a little stumped or two. If you hear tapping, that means they're nervous because you hear that's their foot tapping. So there's a whole bunch of things you can tell by answering questions and, most importantly, listening. Listening is probably one of the strongest skills that as a recruiter you need to have.
Question.
You can tell a lot.
I have a question. Okay. When you send a report on this candidate to the hiring manager, how do you summarize or articulate these deductions or inferences you've drawn about the culture fit? What do you say? He's indirect.
He's a mild-mannered person. I do, but first of all, understand there are tools now that can help you with that as well. You got tools like Humantics, which can do an assessment based on both of the top two personality assessment methodologies that can give you the same insight. So what I do is I do my interview, I get my what my thoughts are, then I go ahead and use the tool to validate my thoughts one way or the other. And usually what I end up doing is sending my thoughts plus the results of the tool. It's like Crystal Nose, Humantic. Those are the two top tools that do this.
Humantic, spell. Can you spell that?
I believe it's Humantic, if I remember correctly. It may be IX. Hang on a minute. I'll tell you right now because I can look it up here on my system.
My foot is tapping. I don't think I'm that nervous. Okay, maybe my body is
betraying
my state of mind.
It's Humantic. Humantic. Well, the problem is you're in your radio voice, so that means you're being loud, so it's kind of a little bit more difficult to tell if you're nervous or not.
So I want a story now, if you've got it, about, you know, someone you actually sent a report in. I want to hear what one of your reports sounds like, but does anybody want to comment before? Anybody online want to ask or challenge Dean on this one? No? The line's open.
I'm curious if Dean's ever encountered a situation where a certain personality type may be disqualified an individual for a job.
Yes, I actually have. And it's not that they disqualify themselves.
Okay, so you're using personality to knock people out.
It's not that they disqualify themselves from the job. I actually got them hired into a different part of the organization. They disqualified themselves from that group because their personality would have caused all kinds of havoc in that group. It just would not have worked.
Be more specific.
It's a good question. They were probably the most alpheist alpha I've ever encountered in my entire life. It was even difficult for me to keep control of my interview. They were at alpha to the umpteenth degree, and this group was not a group of alphas. They were a very team-oriented, very nobody is above each other, very what I call betas. There's a lot of betas. No alphas, no Charlies, a lot of betas. And he would have destroyed them. And we knew that because we've done it. We had that happen before where they hired a real alpha, and it just didn't work. It almost destroyed the group.
What's an alpha?
An alpha is somebody who likes to take charge, who thinks they know it all, who wants to always have the final say, who thinks they're the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. And not only do they think that, but they make sure everybody knows it on every chance they get. The alphaest of the alphas are, well, I want to stay away from politics, so I won't mention what I want to say right now, but they destroy groups unless the group has other people just like them. And then what happens is over a period of time, everybody kind of calms down. They figure it out. But if you put them in with a bunch of betas, it destroys the group. That would be like.
And how do you figure out in your interview if the person's an alpha? Like you said,
well,
you had trouble controlling the interview. Go ahead.
That's how. I mean, let's get real. I am an alpha personality. It's not even – there's no debating about it. And if I couldn't control the interview, that told me that this person was over the top alpha. To try to control me would be over the top. I mean,
would you say that was more a situation?
I have met with and interacted with Norman Schwarzkopf, and that man's an alpha. and I still could work with him and get along with him. So, and I knew if I couldn't work, get along, or control a conversation, this person had to be over the top. In fact, it was interesting is we did get him hired in a group, but when I did the background check and talked to his past employers, they said the same exact thing. The biggest problem we had is he is so alpha and so over the top, it was really tough for us to figure out how to work with him, and that's why he didn't last very long.
Okay, hold on a second. Wait a sec. Okay, hold on a sec. You know, you don't seem like that to me. You seem like a reasonable person, I have to tell you. Michael G. Cox,
you can be reasonable and still be an alpha. That's the difference between an alpha and an alpha. That's the difference.
The difference is emotional intelligence or lack thereof.
I'm trying to be a little more politically correct than that. Thank you. But yeah, basically the difference
Jerry said the show's getting boring, and I always use him as my bellwether. Jer, what's wrong? What should we be asking him? Come on, speak up.
I'm already involved in a back and forth hate conversation over on Bill Borman's site with some lunatic people. So I don't even know what anybody's talking about.
Wait a minute.
You're on Bill Borman's site dealing with a lunatic. Wait a minute. You're on Bill Borman's site dealing with lunatic people. And so are you trying to act like that's new? Have you been on Bill Borman's site before? I love Bill Borman, but some of the people over there are
fun
a little,
than whatever we're talking about here. I blame this squarely on Animal.
I'm all for blaming it on Animal.
Situation here with this whole globe is in this funky, weird, surreal state, and Animal wants to sit here talking about examples of a time that you talked about a person. This show sucks. Get on the
screen
or I'm hanging up.
Jerry has told us before that he is an alpha, okay? And there you go, I guess, right? That proves Dean's point, okay? Jerry, what do you want to talk about with the – we already asked if the interviews are from, like, prison style.
They are on the Internet. I have to argue with people that I don't know on the Internet.
We don't have
you
to.
Know,
I'm going to sit right here and talk to all these people.
Shut it down, Jerry. Just shut it down. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine.
They're hysterical. Bill is an extremist himself, okay? Bill is an extremist. I mentioned it on the show, my online conversations with him.
Anytime I talk to Bill, some of his whole posse just gangs up on me, and they don't even know me.
Yeah, there's lots of people like that.
Maybe I'll post a picture of my gun cabinet and get the cops called on me. Yeah.
No. Those guys are so self-righteous and nasty, some of them.
This is where the saying ignorance is bliss comes in. You're dealing with some very blissful people over there because they're about as ignorant.
All right. I'm going to delete my current halfway completed.
Okay.
URL.
So Jerry tells us the show's no good, and then he starts talking about, you know, fighting a political fight with hysterical
people
online.
But he admits he hasn't really been listening, so it's kind of a oxymoron.
Okay. So where do we get off?
Let me, in my defense, the reason why is because there's nothing that nothing kept me engaged, Animal. 10, 15 minutes in, I'm drifting.
I mean, speak up. Ask a question or say, look,
speak
this
up,
is not interesting, and
I'm not the one making millions on this show, dude. You are. It's on you. You know what I mean? I mean, really.
Right. Yeah, what a cop-out. Okay, yeah, okay.
Not
but you know what?
No, that was
here's
really
here's how you can support me. I haven't billed the sponsors for a year. Can you start bugging me about
right
that? Yeah, you bug me every day on my Facebook group about something, okay? I have to bill the sponsors. Okay, I haven't done it for a year. Can you start bugging me about that? I would appreciate it, and then I can pay you, okay?
Are they going to still pay you? Even
so
today,
I don't know. We'll see.
Guys. I didn't come on the show to hear you all pontificate.
Okay. Where were we? We were back telling a story.
You were trying to
explain
to me how I'm not an alpha, but when it's clearly I am.
Yeah, okay, but
hey,
what
Dean,
we were doing.
Hey, Dean, I have a question for you.
Please
go ahead.
Tell me it's
is there any Moreno?
Ernie.
No. Hey, Dean, what do you consider to be the hottest new tool out there?
That is a good question. I'm actually very much in love right now with Luxo Connect, Luxo Connect is literally brand new as if it only came out like a day ago, and I just did a video on
outreach?
Oh, but this is outreach on steroids. So,
okay, well, tell people. I saw you posting about it on Facebook a number of times. Tell people why you're enthusiastic.
I'm about to.
Isn't it called Luxo Outreach, though?
Well, it's Luxo Outreach. I call it Luxo Connect. It's Luxo Outreach, basically. So
okay.
What Luxo has done, Luxo originally was an ATSC arm, a really good one. I actually use it. They now created a sourcing platform called Luxo Source, which just came out about a week or so, 2 weeks ago maybe. But now they have this Luxo Outreach, which is incredible. Right from your system, once you create a list of people, you can send them all mass email. Then you can schedule to send them a mass text. Then you can schedule to send them a video in an email. And then you can schedule to call them. And you can set it up to where you send an email and then say two days later, if you don't hear back, send a text. And you can set it up to automate the entire process. If you hear back, it doesn't keep going. If you don't hear back, then it goes to the next step in the process. And it can repeat the process as many times as you want. My whole entire methodology for my whole contacting is built around the average number of emails and average number of calls it takes to get a candidate to reply. So for me, this is like, oh, my God, this is perfect. I can literally set it up to run automatically for me, and I don't have to worry about it. And it's so
cool.
Hold
on. Wait a sec, Dean. I'm just going to add to this. Obviously, I think Jerry said what I was asking. My questions were interesting. This is what one of the listeners is asking. We can stay on this. So you're talking about a sequence of emails, right? And it automatically.
No. It's not just it's not just emails. You can do emails.
Email,
you can do
phone,
texting,
voicemail, drop.
Texting, phone, videos. You can do all of them in any sequence you want. Like for me, I like to email, give it a day, and then I will always follow up either with an email or a text if I have it available. And then I give it another day, and then I follow up with a social site of some kind or a phone call, and I repeat that process up to 7 times because according to statistics, it's taken up to 7 calls to a candidate to reply. So I can do it automatically. I don't have to actually go in and remember to do it. I can set it up. So email, day later, a text, day later, a video email, day later, another, you know, I can set it up automatically, and it goes right down the and it's all integrated into one system, and it doesn't cost extra for the texting. It doesn't cost extra for any of it. It's all integrated.
Can you follow up there, Ernie?
It's simple.
What was that?
Follow up question? A cave person can use it.
I signed up for Luxo last week. I signed up because I listened to Dean, and I thought, you know what, this has got to be a little different program, a different way. And the fact that you could make one call and then from there shoot it into automatic, you know, and then followed up with your calls only. I was looking for ways to just cut time, and I think he turned us on to this thing. And you're looking at it, and you're going, "Wow!" And they're really helpful too. It's an interesting program, and it's how it's going forward. I found it to be really interesting in terms of what it can do.
My technology stack, what Luxo's just done between Luxo Source and Luxo Outreach has changed my entire technology stack for me in that, you know, you have the ATSCM, you have your sourcing tool, and then you have the outreach tool. So now, for me, I need a secondary sourcing tool, I need a secondary enhancement tool, and then I need a scraping tool. That's pretty much the main tool you really need. And so now with Lux, if you use the entire suite of Luxo products, you can add SeekOut as a sourcing tool, Swordfish as an enhancement tool, and ZapInfo as your scraping tool, and you're pretty much set.
What's an enhancement tool?
An enhancement tool is a tool that finds more information about people. Usually that means emails and phone numbers.
Oh, it's a contact information tool.
We call it enhancement, but okay.
Who calls it an enhancement? I've never heard it before.
Nothing personal, but you never heard of a Swiss Army knife before either, so I'm not sure.
I did. That's not true. You say it every week. Joe told me nobody else knows. Now, everybody's confirming that Michael G. Cox told me everybody knows what it is, so I'll take his word for it, okay? You guys are busy promoting competitors for my sponsors, but my sponsors haven't had to pay for a long time.
I just came up with I just came up
it's
with names
the
of all tools. I could have said the hire tool. I could have said human projections. I could have said amazing hiring. I could have said any. I could have said Rockstar Finder. I could have said who knows. I was just using an example of a secondary source tool. That's all I did. I could have said any of them.
Okay. No, I got to tell you. No, I'm interested in what you're saying. Ernie's reply to Ernie's question. You're saying that for you, this current development has been transformational. That's what it sounds like you just told us. Am I right about that?
Yes. To me, it has been because you're always looking at how to do more with less, and you're always looking at how to minimize the number of different systems you have to have. Because the more systems you have, the more you have to worry about them interacting with each other and working with each other and all that, and that becomes convoluted and can be difficult. So when you have a system that can be your ATS CRM, that can allow you to source and allow you to do your outreach properly, then you have other systems that can work fairly simply with them, like source in wherever, download CSV, upload deluxe, so you're done. Scrape here, upload download CSV, upload deluxe, so you're done. It makes your system simple. It makes it agile, and more importantly, that means it can be done quickly. You don't need any little bridge programs to let them talk to each other. And that's mm-hmm. and so I'm all about the simplicity, and I'm also about cost. I'm looking at cost. Luxo is very reasonably priced for all that it can provide for you. I look at things like ZapInfo. ZapInfo is way reasonably priced. It's one of the most reasonably priced tools out there, and it's really good. And I forgot I got to do a video on them because they just made a major addition to what they can do. And then you look at the sourcing tools. Most of the sourcing tools out there are extremely reasonably priced. Not all. There are some that I think are overpriced, but most of them are reasonably priced.
Any other specific? Hey, I'm going to do a quick ad, and I'm going to. If there's any other specific sourcing tools that you want to talk about for the rest of the show, we can go into that. If anybody else has a comment, just do it. Tell me after my ad. The lines are open. Okay, still 15 minutes left. HireTool, HireTual.com. Okay, they supply lots of free contact information if you go and download their extension from HireTool.com. No, that's not the Swiss Army knife. I'll come to that in a second. PCRecruiter.net. PCRecruiter.net is the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software. It's good for every kind of recruiting. It's very, very customizable. And if you don't know how to customize your own software, they're happy to help you because they love all recruiters. Okay? And there was something else I was going to say about. Hold on. And not only that, they're good for kitchen table recruiters like Jerry, and companies with big teams of recruiters. So, you know, big or small, they love them all, okay? And finally, Honeit, HoneiT.com, the online interview technology. You heard the great Dean DaCosta just endorsed them. You can handle your interviews and record them and get transcripts and little clips that you can pass around to the hiring committee all online, Honeit.com. Okay. Any other sourcing tricks that you want to, new ones that you want to tell us about?
Can I make a statement again? Going back to your Dean, this is Ernie again. Going back to your all of those programs you put together on SourceCon, I think one thing I had picked up that I caught, I guess, just that more recruiters should know is the fact that if I bookmark it, which I did first, it ends there. But if you
The SSAR pages?
Yeah, and your additions.
Yeah, I'll explain. I can explain that. So what he's trying to say is when you look at the SSAR pages, and those are those big pages I put together with all the different tools, tips, tricks, and everything like that on them, you have a choice of following it or bookmarking. If you bookmark it, that's it. Whatever's on that page now is all you get to see. So as I add things, you won't see them. If you follow it, you get to see all the new stuff I add, and I always put the date of the new stuff, so you'll always know what's new. So basically, the only reason you would have to actually bookmark it is if you think it's going away. I have a few bookmarks. The guy that owned them said he was going to be removing them, and I wanted to keep them. But for me, for what I'm doing, you don't need to bookmark them. You should follow it, so this way you get all the updates I have. And you don't need to worry about if something happens and start.me goes away and I have to start all over because I get I do a scrape of the pages every week and I have it backed up and I can upload it again within minutes. So just follow the page. Do not bookmark it. If you bookmark it, you're not going to if you bookmark it, you're not going to get the updates, and the updates are really important. I've got about 60 tools I need to add to it over the next week. So,
any other questions, Ernie?
Yeah, finding mobile numbers. What's the best tool?
The best tool is finding mobile numbers right.
What do you care about?
Say it again.
What was that?
I said, finally, something we care about. 10 minutes left in the show, and we get to something that people can take and actually apply.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm just answering questions, dude. So don't shoot the.
This show's failure has nothing to do with you. It rests squarely on animals' ill-prepared shoulders.
And
well,
yes,
okay. We're
go ahead. Answer the question, please.
Okay. The answer to the question is, from a tools perspective, for cell phone numbers, the best tools right now are going to be the Luxo Connect, or the Luxo Connect, which is their contact finding capabilities, Seekout, and Swordfish. Those are the top three finding cell phones. Tools, my
really?
Account,
how did you
tools.
Assess that? How did you assess that? Just by using the different tools?
Pretty much by using the different tools and validating the numbers they were giving me were accurate. Most tools don't give you cell phones. They give you landlines, usually work numbers, and stuff. So there's only a handful of tools that even give you. Lucia tries to give you cell phones, but to be quite honest, they're only about 40% accurate. So why even waste? I don't even waste my time with Lucia anymore. Most tools do not provide cell phone numbers. Now, I will say this. Rockstar Finder is coming up there.
Who's
really
that?
Quick. Rockstar Finder is a
Who's
sourcing
that?
Tool. And they
yeah.
just added a they just added a new capability, and they're finding cell numbers. And their cell numbers, I'm still playing to see the accuracy, but so far I'm pretty impressed with them. And for me, Rockstar Finder is a cheaper solution than some of the other tools that are out there.
They were free before. Robert Smith was on the show. They were free at that
yeah,
time. They're not free anymore.
Well, no, they got a free, like all tools. Luxo has a free component. Seek has a free component. Hydro has a free. They all have a free component. But if you want to get the full experience, of course, obviously it's not free. So some things are free, some things aren't. But, Rockstar just had a major addition to theirs. They came out with Rockstar Pro. I just did a video on it. And I was really impressed with the ease and simplicity, but more importantly, the amount of cell phone numbers that it was finding and the accuracy. But, again, it only came out like a day or so ago, so I'm still assessing. Is still assessing just how accurate are, but right now it's probably 60% accurate, which for cell phones is really good. But again, I'm early on in my assessment. I don't like to make numbers based on only 100 or so 100 or so numbers. I like to have several hundred before I'm willing to say
wow.
anything out there.
Wow! 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 Okay, Ernie,
yeah,
any other more
people,
questions?
I don't think people realize when I write about a tool or I do something about a tool, it's not like I just listen to what they tell me and then redo it in my own words. I actually take time to test these things. Like this Luxo Outreach thing, I've known about it for a while. I've gotten to kind of mess with it a little bit for a while now. And I don't just, you know, there are a lot of tools out there. I probably only write about or do a video on maybe one out of every three tools I demo, because to be honest, that's all that's worth doing. I'm not going to sit there and recommend a tool that's a piece of crap. It's just not the way I
okay.
work. I also
okay.
won't say anything bad about them. I just won't say anything good either.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Now,
okay.
Now,
so,
my
Bernie,
question,
any
my
other
question?
Any other question?
Yeah. With regards to dealing with LinkedIn, and as we use these tools around LinkedIn, any advice you can give us on that? How to be careful, how to not get kicked out of LinkedIn, how to not to go to jail, or you log
yeah,
in, log out?
I could tell you a bunch of stuff. First of all, I don't know why you're using LinkedIn, but that's another story. For me, it's real simple. It's real simple. First of all, you got to get over believing that LinkedIn's got 610 million people, because they don't. That's the first thing. Just remember, they're full of crap. So get over that. They've got about 425 to 430 million people. That's it, done. Number two, realize that you will never see all of them. It's mathematically impossible. The most you could see in a results, even in LinkedIn Recruiter, is 1,000 people in results. That means mathematically speaking, you will never see everybody. However, you can x-ray in and see everybody. So that's number two. Number three, don't stay signed in. Big Brother is watching. If you stay signed in, they can see everything you're doing. They can see any communications between extensions. They can see everything. So don't stay signed in. If you're going to use a tool like a scraper, make sure there's a gap going from page to page of at least 10 seconds. It's real simple. They go under the premise that if you go from page to page or from profile to profile in 6 seconds or less, you're probably a robot. They don't know it for a fact, but they are presuming you're a robot, because in their little itty-bitty minds. No human being can look at a whole profile in 6 seconds and make a decision and move on. That's not correct. I can do it in way under 6 seconds, especially with some of the piece of crap profiles in LinkedIn. That said, that's their assumption. So if you put 10 seconds as your mark to move from page to page, they cannot assume that you are a robot, in most cases will leave you alone. But the biggest key is don't say sign in. If you worry about not being able to know if you get emails, that's what a cell phone's for. They don't monitor you on cell phone. So you just stay signed in to LinkedIn on your cell phone. Let it tell you when something's going on. Do not stay signed in. That's the biggest key. Sign in, sign out. I'm not signed in right now. I'll sign in, check my emails, I'll sign right back out. The only time I do anything in LinkedIn is if somebody in my company puts people in a folder and I have to scrape it out to find contact info. That's the only time I do anything in LinkedIn. Because, like I said, they don't have as many people as they say. Most of the people, I mean, it's estimated that 98% of people on LinkedIn have another social profile, so why do I need to use LinkedIn? And the 2% that don't, well, let me help you out. At least 100 of the 2% are dead, and I know that because there are people I know who have been dead, and they won't remove them from LinkedIn. They refuse to allow the people to remove their
what
profile.
Did you mean by cell phone? Sorry, I didn't catch it. What were you referring to with the cell phone?
Well, on my cell phone, I have a LinkedIn app that allows me to do certain things, but they don't monitor that. They don't pay attention to what goes on your cell phone. And the new Windows has a way to connect your cell phone to your desktop computer, so I can open up my cell phone right in front of me, right on my desktop, and it's big and easy to use, and I can do anything. In fact, there are certain contact-finding tools that you have to pay for to use in your desktop, but on your cell phone, they're free. So I can use them on my desktop by connecting my cell phone to my desktop and just using it. I mean, it's really cool. There's a YouTube video I did on it, all about it. It's really a cool little setup.
Okay, I have to look
for
that. That sounds really interesting.
Tools on that too.
And then the other thing to keep in mind, I'm running Android. Chrome has an Android emulator. I can actually do an emulation of the entire Android system and go ahead and do anything I want in it, just like it was my cell phone. And because it's in Chrome, that means all my other tools will work within it as well. So there's a whole lot of ways to be able to utilize your mobile technology.
Hold on, you're Android. Your smartphone is Android, not an Apple product. Is that what you're saying? There's an advantage to that? Is that what you just said?
To me, I think there's a huge advantage going Android to Apple. I don't like the proprietary nature of Apple. I never have. Number two, Android allows you a little more flexibility, and Android works a little better with the Windows operating system as far as your cell phone. My daughter has an Apple, and it struggled to get it to connect the same way as the Android. Android's like instantaneous.
Uh-huh.
With the Apple, it takes a lot more time to get it, and it still doesn't work 100% right.
Okay,
now,
but you know what? I remember
Apple,
a few years
Apple
ago, if Jerry's
emulator.
Still on the line, he can correct me, but he found his 10-year-old daughter on LinkedIn, and we were told that if you use the LinkedIn app on your phone – they steal all of your contact information. No, that's not correct.
First of all, you need to understand that they can't steal anything unless you give them permission. They have to give you permission. If they don't ask for permission, then there's going to be a lawsuit against them. Every tool, if you'll notice, when you put an extension on Chrome, it asks for permission to access your this, that, or this, or that, whatever the case may be. Like,
Is it going to work if you don't give them access?
It depends on which tool it is and how you have it. Like, for me, most of them, when I'm in Chrome, they're asking for access to my Gmail account. Well, I have two Gmails. One has everybody in my address book. One has one person in my address book, me. So I use that one when I sign up for them. So this way, if they want to have access, fine. You're only going to get access to me. It's not like I have anything to hide. My email's all over the place. So I don't give a fuck. It's just like the tools that say you have to use a work email. I have a site that gives me an email that acts like a work email, but there's nobody in my address book. I use it just to sign up for those tools.
Okay.
I have one other question, man. When you're using Chrome versus Bing, is there any advantages to it? Does it matter?
Okay, so Chrome versus Bing is not the comparison. Bing is a search engine. Chrome is a web browser, so it'd be Chrome versus Edge.
Okay.
Or Bing versus Google. So I'll do both scenarios. So
Bing versus Google, yes.
Okay, so Bing versus Google, yes, there actually is. Some searches run better in Bing than Google. Right now, an X-ray into LinkedIn works better in Bing than Google. And there's a site called Bing versus Google, and it's on the SSAR page, where you can run a search and see the results in both to see which one works better. and you see them side by side. And a lot of the LinkedIn X-rays work better in Bing than they do in Google. Now, the comparison between Chrome and Edge, the old Edge prior to 3 months ago, big difference. You could use extensions in Chrome. You couldn't in Edge. The new version of Edge, which is Chrome-based, to be honest, I like it better than Chrome because you can use the Chrome extensions in it, but it doesn't need as much resources, and it's a lot faster.
What about the Brave one that's almost exactly like Chrome?
Brave, what I like about Brave, and I have Brave. I have like 12 browsers on my computer. What I like about Brave is not because it's Chrome-based and all that. What I like about it is because it has Tor built in. Tor is the onion router. That's how you get to the deep web. I like the fact it's got it built in, which means I don't have to use a second program. I don't have to call up the Tor URL. It's built in there and everything, and it comes with other little things like, you know, you can get a VPN to protect yourself. You can do all that. That's what I like about Brave. Brave is a more secure version of Chrome.
Uh-huh. And so what do you have a go-to browser that you use most of the time, or do you keep switching constantly between these dozen?
Usually I'm in Chrome and the new Edge is where I spend most of my days.
Uh-huh. Ernie, or do you have to go, Dean, or, can we ask one more question?
No, I actually made sure my calendar was pretty clear.
Okay.
Today,
well, you know what? I liked the first part of the show as well. Jerry, I as I said, he's how I judge things. He was bored. But now Ernie's asking you questions that are very interesting. Ernie, do you have any more?
Well, I guess as I look at it, is what about emails? I mean, is there any way to find emails or a combination of both? I know you gave us Swordfish. Does Swordfish find emails?
Yes, Swordfish can find emails. Luxo can find emails. Seekout can find emails. HireTool can find. I mean, almost all of
emails easier can find. Emails easier than a cell phone because it's right.
Okay, so yes, emails much easier than a cell phone. The reality is this: there is nobody on this planet that has an email that you can't find. It's just a matter of having the right methodology. So, as an example. Human nature is human nature. So if I'm on LinkedIn and I notice that they're in the URL, their username for LinkedIn is Pro43, happens to be mine. And then I go to Twitter and notice Pro43. Then I go to Facebook's Pro43. That's three social sites. They're using the same username. The odds are 95% they have an email address with it. And the odds are it's one of the 26 domains that's 95% of all Americans have, the Gmail, the Hotmail, all that. So all you got to do is do Pro43@Gmail, Pro43@Hotmail, Pro43@blah, blah, 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 test them. At least one will be right, if not two. And once you've got that, then you stick them into Google and it'll match it directly up to the person and you'll have their email. It's not hard to do. It's real. Okay. Finding emails is really, really simple. I always say these tools that find emails, I can do that. I don't need the tool to do that. The tools allow me to do it quicker, though. And so I will use the tools because it saves me time, which equates to money. But if the tools don't find them, I don't get, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I have a whole methodology built behind finding an email address for somebody, and it has never failed me. And there's a video on my YouTube page about how to do it. So.
That's one of your earlier ones, if I remember correctly. I remember one.
I actually updated it not too long ago because I added a couple of other possibilities to the permutator for possible emails. I added one for alumni groups, and I added one for if you own your own domain. So I have updated it since then. I think the newest one's about 6 months old.
Ernie, anything else?
Yeah, one other thing. When people – right now, I hear them all freaking out because nothing's like everybody's pulling jobs. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? During this time of maybe 50% of what you can get done is actually filling a job order. What advice do you have for people to calm down and not freak out?
Well, at this point, we're not talking about corporate recruiters. We're actually talking mainly about agency recruiters and independent recruiters. So what I tell them is, remember things are cyclical. To quote Mr. Baseball, there's high tide, and then there's low tide, and then there's high tide again. So we're in a lowish tide. There will be a high tide again, and it probably isn't going to be a year and a half to 2 years. It's probably going to be a few months. So start thinking about what is the core things. Look at your history of recs. Look at the companies you deal with on a regular basis. What kinds of things do you always seem to have companies ask for? If they're always asking for job developers, then maybe it's time for you to start putting together lists and people that are job developers so that you're ready when the floodgates open again. Instead of waiting for the floodgates to open, get ahead of the floodgates. Start putting together lists of job developers or whatever it is you look for on a regular basis so that when those floodgates open, you're ready to rock. There is no waiting period. That's what I recommend you. And along with that, I would recommend take this time to enhance your skill set. Learn how to x-ray the right way. Most people don't know how to do it the right way. Learn how to peel back the right way. Learn how to view and assess and manipulate a URL properly to get you information you would never think of before. Learn about OSINT. Instead of use the word and not really know what it really means, learn what it really means.
Why don't you plug your book? Why don't you got a cheap book on Amazon, inexpensive book on OSINT, OSINT. Why don't you plug that right now? What's the title?
It's OSINT for the Staffing World, and basically it's a beginner's guide for built for recruiting and staffing people around OSINT, around what OSINT is, what kind of tools they are, what they can do, and how to use them and not get into trouble, meaning not worry about getting hacked or anything like that and the things you can do.
What about your other book?
The other book is God, no, I can't remember because I'm in the middle of writing my next book, so I'm kind of a little off the wall here.
Just look up Dean DaCosta.
I've got it right here. It's The Book of Recruiting DaCosta Style, and it's basically about a lot of methodologies and things that I use to allow me to succeed in the various stages in my staffing career. And it has tools, it has methodologies, it has interviewing techniques, it has pretty much everything.
Okay. Ernie, anything else you want to say? I have one more question. If you're on a roll. No, you're okay?
He answered a lot of my questions. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, okay. But I want to just go back to something you said earlier, last question, but it might be a bit extended. You talked about your sequence. When you were talking about Alluxo, you've got a methodology for contacting people. You know the ratios. I think you said you have to touch someone 7 times to make sure.
The statistically speaking, right now it's taking an average of 7 phone calls to get somebody to reply to you.
Okay, you said phone calls. I thought those were a variety of different touches, and I wanted you to clarify.
No, it's taking an average of 7 phone calls and an average of 4 emails right now to get people to reply.
I was listening to someone on a sales webinar that was pretty interesting from VanillaSoft the other day, and the guy said, always leave voicemails. We know that lots of recruiters think that nobody listens to their voicemail. He said, always listen to voicemail. That's your advertisement. Leave a voicemail. That's your advertisement.
Yeah, of course you leave it. Of course you leave a voicemail. Well, I mean, why would you call somebody and what are you going to do? Hang up? People need to understand. If you call them and you don't leave a voicemail, they still have caller ID. And they're still going to know. And it's going to make you look bad. Oh, wow, this guy, who the hell is this? It's a recruiter. He called me and didn't even leave a message. Screw him.
Hey, Dean,
like
and also,
if I get a call and I say hello 3 times and I don't get a live person, I hang up. Because I am not talking to a goddamn robot.
Hey, Dean, and also with regards to Alluxo, do they not have that, they have some voice message system where you could drop a voicemail without it ringing the phone?
They will.
They do.
Oh, it does now? They told me they were doing it, but I thought they said it wasn't there yet, but they were going to have it.
They seem to be saying that they have it now.
It's quite possible. I just talked to Matt yesterday, and I didn't ask him about that, but when I asked him about it a month ago, he said that's in our project plan, so maybe they got it done sooner. I made a bunch of recommendations to him. That was one of them. He did say he was trying to get them all done before the RAW, so maybe he did, and I didn't think to ask him about it. It's quite
okay, but just let me clarify something. I thought that you had told us half an hour ago that you program in a variegated sequence of different methods of contact, like first an email, then a phone, and then if there's no return, it goes to email and then to text. I thought
Yes, I did, but I think you're kind of confusing a few different scenarios here. So the way the Alluxo tool works, which I love because it's almost directly in line with my methodology, is you could set it up so that your first outreach to them can be whatever method you want. For me, it's always going to be an email because 95% of all candidates said they prefer the initial outreach from a recruiter to be via email. So I'm trying to be respectful of that and the fact that I don't want to call them and find out their boss is standing over their shoulder, which has happened to me. But anyway, so I email. Then I set it up so that 2 days later, I send a text. Luxo will send them a text. I won't. It'll already be pre-set up. So if I send them an email and I don't hear back within 2 days, Luxo is going to automatically send a text. Then I can set it up so that if I don't hear back 2 days from there, I can either call them or send another email. Only for me, I would send another email, only this time it would be with a video. Then I would set it up for 2 days later to actually call them, and then I would start that process all over again. And I would do that whole process up to 7 times, because that's what the average number of calls is taken. I have never had to go through my process 7 times. I've never had to go through it more than twice before I heard back from anybody, FYI. But that's because I take time to write emails that are personalized, but that's another ballgame.
That's another ballgame. Where can we see an example of your videos? Do you have them up?
My YouTube page. They're all on my YouTube page.
That you drop into an email. You've got them on your YouTube page. Is that right?
Are you talking about videos to candidates?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. You're putting videos
to the
candidate.
Yeah. Well, no, you do it right there in the tool. The tool, Luxo does a video right there live. You can make the video right there live. And once you save a video, you can reuse it right there in Luxo. You don't have to put them anywhere else. You don't have to do them separately. Everything can be done right within Luxo.
Okay, but so you're using the same video again and again. I just want to get in touch with you. It's not specific.
I can, or I can make it specific to each person. I have my choice. I can decide how personalized I want it to be or how generic I want it to be. It's up to me.
Okay.
A lot of it for me will depend on what I'm doing. If I'm trying to invite them to an event, I can be generic. Because I'm not trying to sell them my tool. I'm just trying to invite them to an event. Come hang out, see what we're doing, whatever. If I'm trying to recruit them right then and there and I want to talk to them, then I'm probably going to be a little more personalized.
One other thing it does that I thought was incredible was when you're calling them, you can call them from your database. You're calling them. When they answer, if you hit a little button that's on your screen, you can record it automatically.
Keep in mind, you actually, in most states, need to let them know you're recording it.
Okay.
Some states don't. New York State only requires one person to know it's being recorded. Other states require both people to know. So you need to make sure you understand what the laws in, not just the state you're in, but the state they're in. You need to understand the laws in both.
Okay.
Good
I'm
going to
let Dean go. Dean, I know we got you complaints from the peanut gallery, but I like the whole show. I found this part that you're talking about all the sourcing things you do, very exciting. But I promised you at the beginning that we were going to talk about war stories, and I find them very good as well. But I'm going to thank Ernie. You brought up a lot of interesting stuff. It really added a lot to the show. Dean, I look forward to having you back again. You're great. Okay?
Well,
anything else, everybody?
Nope, I'm good.
Dean DaCosta.
Great job,
guys. Dean DaCosta. He's got 2 books. I'm going to go get you that URL today. Dean DaCosta, thank you!
Walking in the sand.